You may remain standing this morning for our gospel reading. It comes from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Even the most obtuse of the disciples had to know that something was going on. They had just had a Passover celebration together, and Jesus had washed their feet. Jesus had taken the normal bread and wine of the Passover meal and declared it to be his body and his blood. Jesus had then predicted that Peter would deny him three times before the morning came. Judas had stormed out of the gathering after being told that he was going to betray Jesus. And now Jesus has been talking to the disciples, for quite a long time actually, about how he was going to go away, but that the disciples should be at peace and not be troubled. And now Jesus is talking about being the vine and them being the branches and pruning and abiding. It might sound like a lot, but it certainly sounds like something is going on. It doesn't sound easy. After all, nothing about pruning sounds like an easy process. But this is for certain. If these words of Jesus are true, the disciples are no longer going to be what they once were. They're going to be changed. They're going to be transformed. This God who they have seen revealed to them in Jesus since they have followed him these last 3 years might not be the God that they thought they knew. They, like us, over these last several weeks, have experienced God as good, trustworthy, and generous. They know that God is love, that God is holy, that God is self-sacrificing. And now they're coming to the truth that God transforms. We can't know for sure, but I wonder if these words of Jesus came back to the disciples in the days following the resurrection. That as they started to fully believe that Jesus had been resurrected, that in Jesus' death had been defeated, that these words came back to their hearts and minds. Because the resurrection reveals the good and beautiful God who transforms. If on the cross we see the ultimate example of the self-sacrificing God, in the empty tomb we see the ultimate example of the transforming God. A God who has the power to transform death to life. A God who has the power to transform despair to hope. A God who has the power to transform sin to forgiveness. It is this God in Christ, then, in whom we are called to abide. It is this God in Christ who then abides in us. Jesus is always with us as we seek transformation. We're always connected to him as we seek to bear fruit and as we are pruned. Because of the resurrection, Christ can dwell here with us. Because of the resurrection, we are changed into something different. And because of the resurrection, this connection to Christ, this truth that Christ is always abiding in us, allows our core identity to always be child of God. Now, this is different than the identity that we often find ourselves holding on to. Too often, we hold on to who we were before Christ transformed us. Now, perhaps this comes some from the good intentions of the church itself, seeking often to teach people of their great need for salvation. But so often, we are even taught to claim that first and foremost, that we are sinners. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, we say, which is 100% true, but it's also not where Christ leaves us. That's not who we're meant to be at the core, because Christ is always transforming us into something new. There's a quote in the book, The Good and Beautiful God, from David Needham that I found to be helpful with this idea. He asks, "What could be more frustrating than being a Christian who thinks of themselves to be primarily a self-centered sinner, yet whose purpose in life is to produce God-centered holiness? To be released from having the primary identity of a sinner, it doesn't mean that we take our sin and brokenness less seriously. It doesn't mean that we think we don't sin. In fact, it almost means we take our sin more seriously. So don't leave today saying, well, Pastor Hannah says we don't have to care about sin or that we've never done anything wrong. That's actually the exact opposite. We have done those things, but we've been forgiven. We aren't defined by those things anymore. And that should make you want to run even farther from sin, not to sin, because you know who you can be. Because it means that we know that sinner isn't who God has called us to be. Instead, we have been called to be transformed by God into a holy child of God. Instead of thinking of ourselves first and foremost as sinners, we're called to claim first and foremost our identity as children of God. We're called to be saints, not because of anything we have done on our own. If you've heard one clear message from this series, I hope that it's been that we have a God of grace and love who has no system of how we earn or work our way towards Him. We are children of God because Christ abides in us and we abide in Him. Again, I found the book, The Good and Beautiful God, to be helpful here when we talk about what it means to abide in Christ. Because abide is kind of a strange word. It's one we don't really use a lot in our regular conversation, so I don't think we really know what it means to abide in Christ. But James Bryan Smith describes it this way. He says, to abide means to rest in and rely on Jesus, who's not outside of us, judging us, but is inside of us, empowering us. The more deeply we're aware of our identity in Christ, in His presence and power with us, the more naturally we'll do this. We must get our narrative right and practice spiritual exercises to deepen our awareness of truth. In the end, Jesus' way is easy. He says that His yoke was easy and His burden was light. Typically, we try to do what we think Jesus wants us to do, but by our own strength. We can't do that, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're children of God because Christ dwells in us. That's who we are at our core. Even when we fail, even when we sin, even when we live into our brokenness and our mess, God is always calling us back to who we are supposed to be. And so those times that we find ourselves not living into this identity, we know that Christ is still there, dwelling in us, calling us to transform into who we were already created to be. It reminds me of a scene from the TV show Ted Lasso, which is the show about an American football coach who gets a job coaching soccer in England when he doesn't know anything about soccer. It's a comedy, but at its core, it's really a show about people transforming into who they're supposed to be. And so in the second season of the show, the veteran player from the team the previous season, Roy Kent, has retired from playing. Roy was a great player in his youth. He got kind of old, got injured, and he always was kind of like mean and surly. But Ted is trying to get him to come back and be a coach because he knows that at his core, Roy belongs with the team. Instead, Roy takes a job as a TV commentator, and he immediately hates it. He reaches his breaking point one day on TV live when the host of the show asks him what he thinks a particular player will do during the game. He responds with, "We don't know. We aren't in the locker room with them. We aren't on the pitch with them. We can't look them in the eyes and encourage them to be better than they ever thought they were capable of being. We're just on the outside looking in." That's exactly the feeling we have when we aren't letting Christ abide in us. That's exactly how Roy feels right now. And after seeing some footage of his old team warming up, Roy Kent stands up on the set and leaves. He says, "I'm sorry. This isn't what I'm meant to do." It's not who he is. TV host, one who's on the outside from the team, sinner, one away from the gift of abiding. And so he runs to the stadium, he buys a ticket, and he gets himself into the game. When he walks onto the field, the fans start the famous Roy Kent cheer, and he walks up to Ted, who says, "Welcome back, coach." And then starts a speech, which Roy interrupts to say, "You had me at coach." Roy's back. It's also an episode about romantic comedy, so that's why that line's there. Roy's back. He's living into who he was created to be, a coach, somebody who's part of the team, somebody who's been changed and transformed. Too often, we too live as sinners. We let our primary identity not be who we were created to be. And yet God is always calling us back. God is always calling us to transformation. God is always crying out, "Welcome back, my child." Because Christ is always abiding. Christ is always dwelling within us. And so we live as transformed people, not out of guilt and shame for the sins that we have committed, but out of hope and the promise of Christ transforming us. Because if our primary identity is child of God, then that changes how we live. We don't live out on our own trying to be something we aren't. We don't live a life that's defined by our sinful choices. We don't live a life when we are okay with giving into the temptation of sin and continuing to live how we used to live. Instead, we live as saints. We live as those who abide together in the same way that Christ abides in us. We live with those who are okay with being pruned, even when it's painful and difficult, because we trust that we're being transformed more and more into who we're meant to be. When we live into the transformation that's offered to us by Christ, we have the opportunity to experience the promise that's given to us at the end of the scripture we read this morning, when Jesus says, "I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Our joy is complete when we live as transformed children of God, and so we strive to live that way. Now, there are many ways we can live into this transformed promise. We live as transformed children of God when we participate in our church community. We live as transformed children of God when we serve others. We live as transformed children of God when we confess the sins we've done and seek restoration and reconciliation with those who've been hurt by us. We live as transformed children of God when we read scripture and have active prayer lives. And when we live as transformed children of God, when we practice silence and solitude. I know that the practice of silence and solitude might be difficult for many of you. I know it was for me when I first arrived here and was given meditative worship, our Monday night worship service, as one of my responsibilities. At meditative worship, we gather here every Monday night at 7:30, and we read scripture, and we sing, and we take communion, and also throughout the service, we have sections of silence of about 5 minutes each. And at first, when I first got here and we would sit for 5 minutes in silence during worship, at times it felt to me like it would never end. I thought that maybe the sound person and Carl had forgotten the time and it had been ages. It had been 3 minutes. But God has transformed me during those past 5 years here, and now I almost crave weekly that time for silence, to be able to be still. And to remember time and time again that I am first and foremost a beloved child of God. So if you want to experience that, first we're going to experience it together for a few minutes this morning. But come out and join us Monday nights at 7:30. Give it a try. If it's really not for you, we'll let you go. It's fine. But if it is, maybe you'll want to come back. But we're going to end this morning a little differently. I want us to take a couple minutes to practice silence together. It will probably feel a little uncomfortable, and that's okay. You may want to close your eyes or find something to focus on, like the cross. You may want to open your hands and look down and focus on your open palms. But use these few minutes to live into who God has transformed you to be. Abide in Jesus, and allow Jesus to abide in you. You may want to repeat to yourself silently, I am a beloved child of God, or Christ, transform me. You may want to be still. You may want to pray. It's up to you. But let's try this together for a few minutes, and then at the end of that time, I'll close us in prayer before Carl leads us in song. So let's enter into a time of silence together. Let us pray. Holy God, you have indeed transformed us. We are no longer who we once were. We've been forgiven. We've been loved. We've been restored by you. God, guide us to abide in you as you abide in us. May we live as your transformed children, each and every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.